there, everyone, in podcast land and out there in NPR land. This is the Front Row Network, and movie award season has officially kicked off. That's right. The Golden Globes here in 2020 have come and gone. The winners have been announced. The losers have been shot disappointingly from the audience. And we are here to break all of it down, to give you just a good sense of what happened in case you missed it and what it might mean for the rest of the award season. I'm Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief. And here with me, as always, my cohort in the movie award season, Mr. Brandon Davis. What's up?
Hey, I don't know what world I'm living in. This is
a few surprises tonight.
So
very, very quickly to call out here, this is the first of our, obviously, our yearly comprehensive coverage of movie award season. We will be giving you similar coverage of the Screen Actors Guild Awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, any others that come along, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, any that come along the way here in the lead up to the Academy Awards in early February there. But this is obviously the first one. And Brandon, you know, true to form, the Globes, we always say it, they're kind of the least predictor of what the Academy is going to do. But man, they gave us some interesting stuff to think about tonight, didn't they?
They did. Stuff that wasn't even on my radar popped up. So it's really, you know, I always say you can kind of predict the Golden Globes to go toward the way of what's going to make the headlines. And it's going to make the headlines, but in a different way, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Typically, the Globes go for more populist fare in the movie-going world. But especially with the award going to, you know, the Best Drama category tonight, something that not even any of us, any of the personalities of the front row saw coming was a big night there for Sam Mendes's 1917, which is you know, we're going to get more into it, but that seems to be the biggest shock of the night. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the two Best Picture winners, the drama winner hasn't even been released nationwide yet, and the and the musical comedy was released back in the summer. So
yeah, it's exactly. Half of these winners weren't from like stuff from here, and also just portends too of. And again, I'll do it as part of my thing, but also some thoughts I have on the supposed influx of the streaming services into the movie awards. But we will talk about that. If you remember, Brandon and I did a category by category breakdown of who we thought was going to win these awards when the nominations were announced. We're going to do that again. Go category by category, telling you the winner, whether or not we were shocked by it. Some will go fast, some will go slow, because there's a lot to discuss here. But we're going to try and get through all of it. So, Brandon, let's just go right from the top here in the television. Best performance by an actor in a musical or comedy series was won by Rami Youssef for Rami from Hulu. He beat out Paul Rudd for Living With Yourself, Ben Platt for The Politician, Bill Hader and Barry, and Michael Douglas for The Kominsky Method. It seems like he is clearly the least known of all of these people, and yet he pulled out the win here. I know neither of us have watched this show, but are you intrigued to watch it now?
Yeah, I don't think you and I even discussed this on our previous
podcast. I definitely don't remember talking about this guy at all.
he had one of the better speeches of the night, so it does kind of give me a little push to want to see and want to try and watch it. So
I mean, love the self-deprecation where he says, look, I know none of you have seen our show. that's pretty great as the speech goes.
And that was kind of a theme of the night. You would have a category with like four powerhouse names and one underdog name, and a couple of times the underdog would get it. This was a fairly interesting category.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Rami, congratulations on that win. I hope it means big things for you, and I'm very interested to see your show now. Staying in that musical comedy TV show performance, Phoebe Waller-Bridge just continues her tour de force of all the award shows. She wins Best Lead Actress in a Comedy for Fleabag, beating out Natasha Lyonne for Russian Doll, Kirsten Dunst for On Becoming a God in Central Florida, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Christina Applegate for Dead to Me. This category was packed, Brandon, but it's not that big of a surprise because Phoebe Waller-Bridge is just winning everything right now.
Yeah, my pick was Brosnahan just because Mrs. Maisel is so good, and you know, it's still getting buzz, but yeah, it wasn't a big surprise. It could have gone either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Fleabag, not the only time you're going to hear that on the winner's list here. Let's keep it going here. Television actor drama went to Brian Cox for Succession. I got to say, love this one because Brian Cox has obviously been such a mainstay in film and television for so many years. I think he said in his speech he's been doing this for 60 years now. And, you know, he always seems to just be that person that always does solid work but never quite gets the big recognition. And so I thought that was really cool, beating out a powerhouse category here. Billy Porter, Tobias Menzies, Rami Malek, and Kit Harington. What do you think of Brian Cox's win here?
It's always good to see a veteran who's been around a long time who hasn't gotten their due finally get it. So that's always nice. And it seems like this has been a year for people who've kind of been around for a while to finally kind of step up and be counted for once.
Yeah, a little bit. It definitely pertains to our other male television winner that we'll get to in a second. Best performance by an actress in a TV drama. That one went to Olivia Colman for The Crown, taking over for Claire Foy as Queen Elizabeth, beating out Jennifer Aniston, Jodie Comer, Nicole Kidman, and Reese Witherspoon. Again, a power category here. But Olivia Colman, the reigning Best Actress Oscar winner last year, here for The Favorite, and now she is 3 for 3 at the Golden Globes. She's been nominated three times and won 3 times. That's the winning percentage you want to have.
Yeah, this category wasn't a surprise because, first of all, she's just so good, and second of all, she has that momentum coming out of the Oscars from last year where, you know, she's kind of a prestigious name now.
Yeah, and also, I didn't know this at the time, but she's also a main player in Fleabag. So, I mean, she's just having one hell of a year picking her work here. But it never ceases to amaze me, though. Every time I see her give a speech, she looks genuinely shocked that she wins these awards. I just remember her Oscar speech was so charming last year, and it was kind of the same way here, you know, just kind of genuine, like, man, I can't believe I beat all of you people type thing. Yes. So, but she is wonderful in The Crown, seamlessly picks up where Claire Foy left off in that. All right, well, let's keep it rolling here. The limited series or made-for-TV motion pictures, the performance by a male lead in those series went to Russell Crowe for The Loudest Voice on Showtime, the Fox News kind of expose show. He beat out Christopher Abbott, Sacha Baron Cohen, Jared Harris in Chernobyl, which I was really expecting to be the winner there, and Sam Rockwell in Fosse Verdon. Russell Crowe was not able to attend the ceremony as he is in Australia right now helping to fight the just tremendously destructive wildfires that are going on there. Sent a message that Jennifer Aniston read about trying to fight climate change and pushing resources towards it. What did you think of this moment, Brandon? Especially, it was weird because Ricky Gervais did a pretty roasting sense of the people there, telling them not to make political speeches. And then the very first award out of the gate is Russell Crowe here, like, sending a statement about it. And it was kind of a warranted one. What did you think of this whole situation and his win?
Well, I mean, first of all, the Ricky Gervais thing, NBC and the foreign press do it to themselves every time.
I know.
By asking him back. And is it just me, or not to go off on Gervais, but did Ricky Gervais just seem bored this year? It just seemed like, okay, you invited me back.
I just honestly don't think Ricky Gervais cares at all. But, I mean, he's never going to miss an opportunity to roast someone. So.
So, it was interesting, you know. And, you know, the whole thing about politics from Gervais, who's political himself, was just kind of a – you take it for what it was. But, yeah, I mean, Russell Crowe being in the throes of, you know, what's going on down there in Australia, certainly, you know, whether you're in the camp of people making political statements in their speeches or not, you know, it's very personal for him and it's going on right now at the moment. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I was kind of with that too. I'm always of one or two voices here. Like, I know my wife, Sarah, she's one who prefers that, you know, politics be left out of these kinds of shows. And I know you and I also have certain leanings towards that. We don't think they shouldn't be there at all, but, you know, like, perhaps, you know, it's always more of a, you know, you're here to celebrate your work as well, so that should probably come first. But it is that Russell Crowe is down there for that good cause, and it was called out many, many times during the show, and rightfully so. And look, we're going to do our part here too. If you guys want to get involved, there's many charities that are doing great work to try and help this. It is truly an apocalyptic scene down there in Australia. So please, if you have the resources to help, I encourage you to find those and donate, just like they did on the show tonight. And speaking of political messages, well, they didn't get any more kind of dignified and stirring in some ways than the winner of the lead actress in a limited series, which went to Michelle Williams for her work in Fosse Verdon. So I know I haven't seen this yet, but you've seen Fosse Verdon, and you were the one thinking that this was where it was going to go. So
I predicted this. She was getting all the great press about it, and she's phenomenal in it. I mean, she really captures the spirit of Gwen Verdon in this, and it's really, you know, which, you know, she didn't mention, you know, I thought at least she would mention Gwen Verdon in her speech, which she didn't, but
that was a little weird to me.
But I mean, a very well deserved win. I mean, she's phenomenal in that miniseries.
Yeah, and I mean, she beat great talent here. Two really great young performances with Caitlin Dever and Joey King. Helen Mirren, obviously, never a bad performance from her. And Merritt Weaver, who was really, really great and unbelievable. A very deserved win. And I'll say this, like, whether or not you agree with what she said or not, it was probably one of the more eloquent uses of a political statement in one of these that I've seen. She clearly felt very deeply about what she said. And I don't think she said things in an incendiary manner. You know, she was just basically, I think, trying to speak her own truth. And, you know, that's kind of what acting's about, you know, trying to find the truth in the weeds for that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that if you're going to make a political statement with your speeches, I think that's how you want to do it. You know, we don't need to be derogatory or anything. Just say what it means to you and why you think it's important. So, there you go. Let's get politics out of it and talk about something nice like a nuclear spill, because the best made for TV series or movie went to HBO's Chernobyl. It beat out Catch-22, Fosse Verdon, The Loudest Voice, and Unbelievable. Brandon, I don't think there's any surprises here from you or me. This was a truly transcendent piece of television here, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it has everything that you kind of want from a miniseries. It's relevant to what's going on today. It has something to say, and it's dramatically suspenseful, and, you know, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, what HBO did here, I mean, it's they don't shy away from the gruesomeness of this part of history. They don't shy away from the just utter carelessness that led to this tragedy and everything that happened there. I loved the speech that they gave here, that Jared Harris got to give about the people of the Ukraine and stuff that bore the brunt of the fallout from the Chernobyl disaster, and dedicating the win to them. I thought it was a really nice moment. I gotta say, like, you know, just because we're on Chernobyl here, Stellan Skarsgård also ended up winning for best supporting actor in this category for his work in Chernobyl. Beat out a great category here: Alan Arkin, Kieran Culkin, Andrew Scott, and Henry Winkler. So just a whole Chernobyl like interlocking here. Were you surprised that Stellan Skarsgård won this and that Jared Harris didn't win for his award? Because that's the way most people were leaning in these two categories.
Yeah, like we said, you can't really predict much during the Golden Globes, but I think, Stellan Skarsgård is such a respected actor within the Hollywood community, and, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the forum, he's a favorite of the press, so it's not really a surprise that they would have given him an award. You know, I would have thought Jared Harris would have gotten it as well, but that's just the way things fell this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved Stellan's speech about how he doesn't have any eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's just really, really, I love the actors who can self-deprecate, and, you know, few did it better than he did there, and how he was feeling about the situation. Right. All right, so let's close out the television with Best Performance by Supporting Actor in Limited Series or Made for TV Movie. Patricia Arquette winning it for The Act. I'm telling you, Brandon, doesn't it just seem like Patricia Arquette always wins something at one of these award shows now? I mean, like, she is just on a roll right now, beating out Helena Bonham Carter, Toni Collette, Meryl Streep, and Emily Watson. You want to talk about beating a murderer's row there.
I thought this was going to be Emily Watson. So, this was one that I was not predicting either. So, I thought it was either going to be Emily Watson or Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it seems like The Crown didn't quite have the push that we thought it would. And it's really weird to me because this season is phenomenal on The Crown. Not that the other two weren't, but like, they really brought some great dramatic bona fides to this season. And it shows. And so I thought maybe, it would be enough to get both of those ladies, those leading ladies, over the finish line here. But you can't take anything away from Patricia Arquette. If you haven't seen The Act, it is fantastic filmmaking. It's utterly horrifying as a story, and she plays it to perfection, as well as Joey King in that. So I highly recommend that one. Let's keep it going here, almost to the end here. We got the big ones here. Best television series, musical, or comedy. Fleabag, how about that one? Brandon beating out Barry, The Kominsky Method, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and The Politician. Look at that. Phoebe Waller-Bridge again.
That's not much of a surprise. This has kind of been the year of Fleabag. You know, I don't. Well, TV is kind of the section of the Golden Globes where I'm kind of the least versed, because I don't keep up with TV as much as I do movies. But it's but just reading, you know, reading all the press and everything, it seemed like Fleabag had this in the bag, no pun intended. But you know.
Oh, pun definitely intended. Well, let's get to what some see as the biggest winner of the night here, because it's one of the better films, or not films, but a series of the year, according to critics. But, you know, not a lot of people were calling these wins, but Succession on HBO wins Best TV Drama here at the Golden Globes, beating out Big Little Lies, The Crown, Killing Eve, and The Morning Show. You know, this is an interesting night for these guys. They won some big awards here. What did you think of this win for Succession?
Well, first of all, can Sofia Vergara pronounce Succession every time she
can? I'll tell you, man. There's some saltiness there in that stuff, man. Yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic. But yeah, once again, once the ball started rolling for Succession every time, it just seemed like this was going to be it. Sort of once I realized that The Crown wasn't going to necessarily get everything, that seemed to be where all the award momentum was heading.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was a very interesting category there. So that's going to close it out for TV. Any other overarching things here for TV? I said this earlier, but again, for all of the talk that we always get about streaming services and their takeover of movies and television, only 5 wins here for streaming services out of, I think, the 12 categories. So, I mean, the regular, you know, I mean, I know that depends on how you want to classify like Showtime and HBO, but I mean, you know, it seems like the traditional studios did pretty well here.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. I mean the network, nothing from the networks, but yeah.
But
HBO and Showtime.
Those are called cable though. Those are the cable
channels. It's still TV. Yeah. I would still classify that as, you know, regular TV. Not as big of a home run for streaming as one might think in 2020.
Right, exactly. And that's also going to be something that plays into the movies here. So let's keep it going. Let's jump around a bit here, but let's start with the musical categories, because these were very, very interesting to me. So Best Original Score of a Motion Picture, some great scores nominated here, but the winner went to, oh God, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Hildur Guðnadóttir. Let's say it that way. For Joker, and this was a female composer that won this award. And Brandon, have you seen Joker yet? I can't remember.
Yeah,
you've seen it. So I don't know about you, but this has been my favorite score of the year, because that score, I think, is just so synonymous with Joaquin's performance in that movie. And it's just a very haunting score. And I was so glad to see her win this award.
It's got an amazing score. And I've seen Little Women, and I've seen Marriage Story, and all three of them have very great scores. But Joker's just stays with you. I mean, it really exemplifies what's going on screen there. So
absolutely. And you know, honestly, like with what happened with Best Drama and Best Director, don't sleep on Thomas Newman here either, man, because it's going to be very interesting to see what 1917 does here. Closing out the musicals, though, Best Original Song went to I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man, written by Elton John and his longtime writer, Bernie there. And this is very interesting. It beat Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, Spirit from The Lion King, Stand Up from Harriet, and Beautiful Ghost from Cats.
Yeah.
Some powerhouse things here. I was surprised that this won. I was genuinely surprised at this one.
Yeah, it was kind of a fun surprise just to see the two of them win.
Because they never have before, as I said.
Right, and it would be, but I totally thought we'd see Taylor Swift or Beyonce up there, just because, you know, you can have that great photo op the next day in the paper with Beyonce or Taylor Swift holding a Golden Globe. So
But now you get Elton John holding it. I mean, come on, why didn't we think that was as good?
Yeah. Well, it is just as good, but I think it was a perfectly fine song. So, I, you know, if, if you were to maybe put a gun to my head, I would say probably Into the Unknowns might be the best actual song of the bunch, but still.
Right.
Yeah. But it was great to see Elton Bernie up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, really good stuff there. Well, let's keep it going into some Best Picture stuff now. Best Motion Picture from Foreign Language went to Bong Joon-ho's Parasite. This is no surprise, Brandon. This movie is largely considered one of the best just films of the year. And it's still, I think, the best reviewed film of the year overall. So it winning that one was no surprise. Of course, it was not nominated for Best Picture. But let me ask you this, Brandon. This was such a slam dunk win here. Do you think there's a chance we get Parasite as one of the 9 Best Picture nominations at the Oscars?
I think so. Yeah? I think it'll pull a Roma or we've had a lot of experiences with that, like Life is Beautiful
was one. Yeah,
there have been a lot of instances where the blockbuster foreign language film of the year creeps its way into the Best Picture category.
Yeah, and this one just seems like such a runaway train right now with this category. I'm just telling you, if you've got a best foreign language category in an award show pool, people, you better be picking Parasite because it doesn't look like it's going to lose anytime soon. Let's keep it going here with a best animated feature. And Brandon, this was one of the genuine feel-good surprises of the night here because Missing Link went up against 2 Disney behemoths, a Pixar behemoth, and the world of the How to Train Your Dragon franchise, which is making money every time it releases, to win Best Animated Picture. Man, what happened to your brain when this was announced?
Once again, like I said, who would have ever seen that coming? Because you have, you know, the fourth and, you know, one of the most beloved franchises of all time. You have the sequel to a huge blockbuster animated feature. And then you have the, you know, they called it live action version, but actually it's anime, you know, of another beloved classic. So who would have thought? Really, really, really interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if this is the way, I don't know for sure if this is the way the Academy is going to go with it. But interesting to see that this is what the foreign press's take on that.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll call out front row personality Jay Hoffman, who listed Missing Link as his best animated feature of the year in our, best of the year article on NPR Illinois. And look, Studio Laika is really coming strong with some good stuff in recent years. And man, this has got to just feel really, really good for them to win this award over those behemoths. You're right. I don't know what chance this has in the bigger voting blocks, but man, that's a really cool win for them. All right, well, let's get into some of the more technical categories as well before we get into the performances. And let's look at the best screenplay winner, because this one went to Mr. Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is his third screenplay win at the Golden Globes. And this is what I found fascinating, Brandon. If you listened correctly, 9 nominations for screenplay writing, and he's made 9 films. So I'm telling you, he's got going here, but he beat out some great, great competition here. Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won for Parasite, Anthony McCarten for The Two Popes, and what many people thought would be it was Steve Zaillian for The Irishman. So what do you think of Tarantino winning this award for the third time?
Yeah, the foreign press loves them some Tarantino, and it's always it's always been clear about that. But you know what? I've finally, having seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's deserved. It's a great screenplay, and it's really, it might be, you know, it might be my favorite of all the Tarantinos that I've seen, just because it's such a love letter to that era of Hollywood. And the characters are so great. So I think this one is totally well-deserved, even though of the other two that I've seen, Irishman and Marriage Story, both have really great screenplays as well. This is a strong year and an unpredictable year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the screenplay year is so, so strong. Tarantino, anytime he writes a script, he's going to be up there with the big people who are thinking they're going to win that. So, we'll talk a little bit about big takeaways at the very, very end. But definitely, the fate of The Irishman this year is at the Golden Globes is one of those big stories that's going to be coming out of here. All right, let's get into the acting categories here. Let's start with supporting actor in a motion picture. This one went where we all at the front row thought as Brad Pitt won. won his second Golden Globe for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, beating out Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci. Man, oh man, packed category there. But so you did just watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Brandon. I have yet to see that one. You thinking this is a pretty deserved win for Brad Pitt here?
This is one of the best things I've seen Brad do, and Brad does good work. I mean, I think Brad is in that category with like a Tom Cruise or someone like that, who you think of them primarily as movie stars, but they've just done solid work, you know, for a long time. And it was great to see Brad finally up there. And listen, I mean, I've also seen Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and Tom Hanks steals your heart as Mr. Rogers in that. And Pacino and Pesci are both, you know, solid in The Irishman. So this is once again, you have, you know, just unbelievable choices to pick from. But I think Pitt's work does stand out.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting to me here is that I don't really see the names in this category moving a lot through these award shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think this is probably your Oscar field. I mean, are you thinking the same thing?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I'm going to sit down and watch The Two Popes here finally, because it kind of confused me to have, you know, the movie is called The Two Popes, so there's two leads. Why would you put one of them in the supporting category?
Right, exactly.
But so finally be able to sit down and watch that. But yeah, I can't see much moving in terms of, you know, these five. This is a pretty solid list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's keep it rolling here with supporting actors. This was the only win in the movie categories for Netflix or for any streaming services, as Laura Dern took home the trophy for Marriage Story, beating out Kathy Bates, Annette Bening, Margot Robbie, and what many people were assuming was the sentimental favorite and frontrunner here, Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers. So what do you think of Laura Dern's win here? Because Marriage Story didn't get a lot of love overall from the foreign press, but it did win this one. Do you think this might be a bit of a tide turning moment, or do you think there's going to be kind of a scattershot thing with this category moving forward?
This is one of those that I think will be all over the place come different award times, because I'm, you know, Jennifer Lopez, I totally thought I think she might have some sentimental momentum going in. And then I've also, you know, everyone who I've seen, I have talked to, who's seen Richard Jewell, which I have not seen, says Kathy Bates is the best thing in it. So there is a lot of room here for this category. But hey, Laura Dern is someone who's been around a while. She's well respected. So to see her get a win, especially for a smaller movie like this, is really, really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I have nothing to add to that. I'm going to be fascinated to see where this one goes. All right, well, let's get into the lead acting categories here. And for those of you who don't know, the Golden Globes in their lead categories split them up in between musical and comedy and drama. Don't know why, but that's just what we got here. So for best actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy, man, oh man, I was so happy to see this one. I think I literally pumped my fists in the air. Taron Egerton winning for his portrayal of Elton John in Rocket Man, beating out Daniel Craig, Roman Griffin Davis, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Eddie Murphy. Brandon, a lot of contention in the front row Slack chat here about Leo not winning this, but I got to tell you, I love that Taron won this award. This was such a great immersive performance. I'm such a Taron Egerton fan, and I'm just so happy. I had a feeling that the foreign press would want to award a movie and a performance like this.
It is phenomenal. He, you know, And I'm not poo-pooing Rami Malek's performance. He was great, but to me this was on another level. You know, just the immersion of Taron becoming Elton John, and the fact that he did his own singing and his own performing and all of that just added to it. And it really is. It's a solid movie and a solid performance. I think this might be the toughest category, because everybody in this category is phenomenal. I haven't watched Dolomite yet, but I'm a huge admirer. I always said that Eddie Murphy should have won that Oscar for Dreamgirls. I think Eddie Murphy is fantastic. And Daniel Craig is one of my favorite characters to come along in a long time, and Knives Out. Leo's fantastic. And Roman, for those of you who haven't seen Jojo Rabbit yet, and I know a lot of people haven't, one of the best child actor performances I have ever seen. And the material that this kid performs and the level that he performs at blows your mind. It is fantastic. So yeah, this is an incredibly tough category.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you look at this mixed with the names in the actor drama category, and it's just like, how do you winnow this down to five for the Academy Awards? I mean, because all of these performances are just so, so great. So let's ask this way too. Do you think that Taron has a good shot at an Oscar nomination now with this win? Because I mean, like, again, you look at that drama category, it's hard to kick any of those people out. But I think that this performance, also the fact that it came out in what, May. So, I mean, like, it's, you know, is there enough momentum that can be built because of this win? Do you think Taron can break into that top five?
I think it gives him momentum, especially because he's someone who hasn't been in the Oscar seen before.
That's true.
And I think the Academy likes that. But yeah, when you look at the five nominees in the comedy category and in the drama category, I mean, it's pretty packed. I mean, there's a couple nominees in the drama category that I think you could rule out already. Yeah. There's about six or seven names among these people it's going to be a fight to see who those five slots are going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's keep it going on the surprise factor here, because Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy went to Awkwafina for The Farewell. Again, just not seeing this. Cate Blanchett, Beanie Feldstein, Emma Thompson, and Ana de Armas were defeated by the rapper turned actress here for The Farewell. Brandon, I was genuinely shocked by this. You and I both thought that this one was Ana de Armas's to lose, and apparently did. So what did you think of Awkwafina's win here?
It was a fun surprise. It was a great, I mean, interesting to see them honor her that way. I thought this was Ana's. I thought this was the way they were going to honor Knives Out, because, you know, she's this, you know, a younger, more unknown actress who held her own with all those veterans. And, but to see Awkwafina get the win once again, throwing this kind of wrench into it, that's going to make award season very interesting. And we're all going to have to buckle up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's like, if that's going to be the way we're going here, because she is a Critics' Choice nomination. I can't remember if she's a SAG nominee or not, but you know, it's just very interesting to see where the Globes kind of throws these wrenches in here. But I do think Ana de Armas is going to get some awards along the way here. I think this will be closer. It's going to be interesting to me if they put her in a lead actress or a supporting actress category, if she gets that far. Yeah. But she is wonderful in Knives Out. She makes that movie work. So I really do hope she gets some recognition there. All right, we'll keep it here in the actresses for the Best Drama Actress. And that went to Renee Zellweger for her portrayal of Judy Garland in Judy, beating out Charlize Theron, Scarlett Johansson, Cynthia Erivo, and Saoirse Ronan. You know, Brandon, you and I are both agreed. We both picked this for her. I don't know how it portends for the rest of the award season, because, again, the Hollywood Foreign Press, they love a musical. They love to do and award those musical performances. And so, again, I don't know if this is an indicator, but it's a good moment here, and I think it at least gives her some good momentum heading into these other award shows.
Yeah, I mean, her performance is just fantastic. I mean, and I think we've all, those of us in the front row who've seen it, we've all said it's not a great movie, but her performance is what carries the day. And she totally, I mean, the fact that she does her own singing and even attempts to duplicate, you know, the Judy Garland style, which is very difficult to do. And the fact that she breaks your heart and she, And like I said, half the time when you watch it, you forget it's Renee Zellweger. That's how good she is.
You really do. And it's funny to me, because I said to Sarah tonight, you know, Judy obviously had those famously very wide eyes all the time. And Renee has pretty much the opposite of that. She has some very, you know, small, almost always squinting eyes. And so it just reminded me of just like, man, that's some commitment of just physical commitment, what you got to do to play this part. She is very impressive in the movie. And what strikes me is that there's not a typical like Oscar moment scene. You know, there's not like a ton of over the top emotion in the movie from her. But it's all very what Judy was, which was, you know, like kind of screaming on the inside at all times. And you know, like, and she really portrays that well. And as you and I talked about in our chat, was the man, that last scene at the concert hall is going to break your heart every time. And she acts the hell out of it.
Yeah. I, I think she'll have good momentum. I mean, there could be others that pop up. We'll see how the Critics' Choice and the SAG Awards go, but I think it's a big, flashy enough performance that it's going to hold everybody's attention through awards season.
Yeah, I can agree with that there. Well, let's keep it here with actor in the drama. And this one went the way that a lot of us thought. Joaquin Phoenix wins for his portrayal of Arthur Fleck in The Joker, beating out Jonathan Pryce, Adam Driver, Antonio Banderas, and Christian Bale. We could talk about Joaquin's very strange speech, not very strange, but just kind of odd speech, the way that he did that. But, the Joker movie might not be your cup of tea, but you gotta always, anybody who sees it can say that Joaquin's commitment to this character is something quite extraordinary to behold. And I just think it's a very deserving win. Again, I do not know if this carries any kind of momentum, because I think that film is very divisive, even though with a performance that good. So, Brandon, what do you think of the win here? What do you think this means for the rest of the award season with Joaquin Phoenix?
Oh, and the same way with Renee's performance, it is a total transformation, and it is a performance that carries the day in the movie, and he is phenomenal. Once again, politics always plays into it with the Academy, and Joaquin even said it in his acceptance speech. He isn't the most popular person in town.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see, who has more friends.
I guess. Well, yeah, because the line that stuck out to me is, I haven't always gotten it right, but luckily I've known enough people who have let me, you've let me try to get it right a few times.
So this is where Taryn might be able to sneak in here. And looking at the drama category, I don't see Antonio Banderas or Christian Bale being there come Oscar time. I think
Ford v. Ferrari's kind of lost some of its momentum. As good of a reviewed movie as that is, and I agree with you. As good as I hear Antonio Banderas is in Pain and Glory, it's hard to see him getting all the way through there.
Yeah, and I think either or, it's going to be Jonathan Pryce or Anthony. Even though Anthony Hopkins was in the supporting this time around, I can see him sneaking back into the lead.
Right.
Or for the Academy, I think one of them will be there. And then I assume Leo and then Taryn and Adam Driver. I think those are going to be the ones that will be in contention probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing this too. So I think like Leo, Taryn, Adam, and Joaquin, I think are pretty good bets there. And then, you're right. It's kind of like, do they go with the kid in Roman Davis? Do they go with, the veteran making a comeback with Eddie Murphy? One of the two Pope guys. The acting category this year is so packed. The lead actor category is so packed. I really don't know where they're going here.
No,
we got to watch. We got to watch these award shows coming up here very closely.
Right.
Pay attention to those. If you're into this stuff, pay attention to those Critics Circle Awards too. Those aren't televised, but those, that's a big voting block of the Academy as well. And they oftentimes predict a lot of good things here. All right, well then let's not dilly dally anymore. Best director went to Sam Mendes for 1917. Brandon, how surprising was this win for Sam Mendes? I mean, all of it, not that Sam Mendes isn't a great director, but man, I think he was literally like almost second to last on my likelihood list here.
Yeah, I had Tarantino and Scorsese hovering on the number one spot. And then I had Bong Joon-ho as the upset.
Yeah, like an upstart. Yeah,
and then I had Todd Phillips and Sam kind of circling the drain at the bottom there. But yeah, for him to swoop, 1917 must be a pretty impressive visual achievement.
And we're gonna talk about that one in a second when we get to Best Drama Winner. Yeah. Not to give too much away there, but don't worry about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It walked away with the Best Picture musical or comedy again. I know that Tarantino writes comedically, but kind of weird it seems to put that one in that category. But that's that one wins that one. So typically it doesn't mean a ton when a movie wins this part when it comes to the Academy, but. This one being kind of a big mishmash of drama and comedy, I think this might be a pretty close race, coming down to some of these. I think maybe people are underestimating Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And Hollywood loves to honor itself. And this movie is a great love letter to Hollywood. So
right.
really, so that this can go far.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just get to the big one of the night, though. Not even widely released yet. 1917, winning Best Motion Picture Drama over The Irishman, Marriage Story, Joker, and The Two Popes. Oh, man, this is just so shocking. So, yes, Brandon, so do you think the fact that this movie hasn't released yet, that it's only been in limited release so it could be eligible for these awards, what do you think this means for this wide release? And do you think that people are sleeping on how good this movie is a little bit too much?
I think this is a late Christmas present for this movie. I think that it's when here a week before it opens, it's going to skyrocket it in terms of box office. More people are going to see it, which means more Oscar voters are going to see it. And I think this is now going to be a major, major contender here that a lot of us didn't see coming. So I think it's not going to be an easy ride for some of these movies anymore, because 1917 is now the new wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's going to mean a big box office haul, I think, this coming week. I mean, yeah. You know, and you're right. Like, we talked about it in our chat about how it's all a one shot. It's edited as a one shot movie. And God, I mean, Sam Mendes is so good at shooting things like this. The cast is amazing. I think we might be looking at a late sleeper hit, kind of the way like American Sniper came out of nowhere a couple of years ago to really kind of take over the box office and take over the award season buzz. It didn't end up getting all the way over on most of those awards, but you know, for a while there, it was just like, man, this movie's coming out of nowhere late, and it seems like it's going to go.
I think it's also going to seem fresh, because how many movies have we seen over the last couple of decades about World War II and Vietnam, and basically nothing about World War I?
Right.
So this is almost new territory that Hollywood hasn't dealt with for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back at the film history, there's not a ton of World War I movies. Yeah. Most people go for the World War II or Vietnam, as you said. It's going to be very, very interesting. Well, the rest of the night, two amazingly great Lifetime Achievement Awards given. The first, the Carol Burnett Award to Ellen DeGeneres. I love this. The tribute was great. Her speech was hilarious, and just the amazing dry sense of humor that Ellen DeGeneres has perfected so much over the years. What do you think of her award here, the Carol Burnett Award?
Oh, I thought it was great. I was surprised when they announced her, because I thought they would have gone with someone a little old, more like a peer of Carol Burnett's to get the award, because there's a few people of the generations older than Ellen DeGeneres still around who could be getting that. But Ellen DeGeneres has been around, you know, for 30 plus years. So really she has done a whole life achievement in comedy. But it was great. And Ellen's a great comedian who doesn't rock the boat, you know. Everyone can relate to her style of comedy, her sense of humor, and she's a great unifier.
Yeah. Well, and she always does those like slow build jokes, which I love, because like she was talking about how, you know, she doesn't want to be up. I'm not going to take long. It's just like, I could, but you know, I'm not going to, because you see, they don't time limit, you know, like she just keeps going over and over. Yeah. It's that perfect type of comedy that she does here. And it was great. But obviously the tearjerker of the night, the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award to Mr. Tom Hanks. That film reel got me. And I was just like, I was tearing up. I was welling up. An amazing speech there about his life in acting. So many great stories you hear about this guy. I swear to God, if he's a secret jerk, I'm giving up on life.
I love the fact that he and Kathy Bates are the two people who have the Love Boat on their Golden Globes reels.
Exactly. What a way to start that one. I love it. Well, I love that they included the Burbs on there. That scene where like the paperboy throws the paper in his chest and he just throws his coffee cup at him. I love like that early comedy Tom Hanks. I think people forget about that. That stuff is just fantastic. But
you totally forget about the scope of everything that he's done. They'll sneak a clip in like, oh my gosh, I forgot about the Green Mile. Oh my gosh, I forgot about Catch Me If You Can.
Absolutely. And it's just like, and for me, it was just like, you see all these great moments, these great like stories. And then they throw in the keyboard scene from Big. And it's just like, man, this guy has built so many iconic movie moments over the years that you just think about them and you know them, you know, you don't even have to see them. And his speech was wonderful. Great. I loved the story that Charlize told. told, Charlize Theron told, before, announcing him up there about, him just excusing himself from the room to give her some moments to, you know, give her some covert moments to calm her nerves in her first audition. Like it's stuff like that. You always hear it about Tom Hanks, and I, you know, I just want to know if it's too late for him to file presidential paperwork. That's what I want. You want a unifying figure, President Hanks, people.
Right, right. Man, but yeah, this award season is not going to be an easy ride. We're gonna
No, it is not. And you're right, like more than anything about this, again, so I said it at the beginning, for all of the talk about streaming taking over the movie world and all the nominations for Netflix, it amounts to one movie award win, and that was for Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Uh-huh. So again, the foreign press has the littlest to do with the rest of the season, but do you think maybe everyone was going a little too hard here? Because the biggest story of the night for me, The Irishman gets no awards, zero awards tonight. It is shut out, and it was seen as the biggest contender of any movie this year. So, I mean, do you think that this is a dire card here, or do you think we have to wait for like a Critics' Choice and the SAG Awards to see what happens?
I think so, and not to rip off any Band-Aids with our front row cohorts or anything like this, but I wonder if there's a lot of Irishman fatigue in the press just because of the whole Marty Marvel thing that went on this fall.
He just rekindled it with the Joker movie too. Yeah, so.
And I wonder, and you know, there was so much that went on in the press. So I'm wondering if, you know, the press, you know, decided to go towards something else, but his peers within, you know, the SAG community and the Critics' Choice and the Directors Guild might feel differently. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to see that, because I can't think to myself that somehow The Irishman has like lost favor with that big of a block of voters. No. You know, like it's still one of the highest rated movies of the year, and reviewed movies of the year. De Niro, Pesci, and Pacino are getting nominations everywhere, as well as Scorsese. Yeah, I can't imagine that this is like some harbinger. I just think it's an outlier. Yeah. But to win no awards, that's kind of a shocker.
I mean, it could end up going the way of The Color Purple, you know, which got nominated for, you know, 11 Oscars and didn't win a single one. But, you know, right? So we've seen that before, but you never know. It's unpredictable. How many, you know, it was a solid bet that Glenn Close was going to win last year and Olivia Colman snuck in. So yeah, there's always these.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because the voting isn't closed yet. You know, the Academy is still accepting votes. So, I mean, it's like the momentum can play a part in this, you know, like if 1917 rides these wins into a big box office weekend, it might be enough to do something like that. So that's why there's still a lot of stuff to be decided here. But overall, really interesting night, really fun. Some good winners here. I think some good momentum shifts that might portend some great things to come in the movie award season. And I'm definitely looking forward to where it's going. Any final thoughts on the Globes for you?
No, I just, you know, once again, you know, this, I don't remember another year that we've had in recent memory, especially since we've been doing this, that has been so unpredictable, where there's been such strong competition in every single category. It's amazing. This was a year going in where I didn't think it was going to be that exciting of a year, but when you see everything listed out, you're like, man, this has been a great year.
Yeah, and you're right. You see every single movie. Like, oh man, that movie's really great. Oh man, that movie's really great. Yeah, you could see any of these winning. So, all right, folks, that is it. The Golden Globes are in the book. The first movie award season is done. A few things from us here at the Front Row Network. Of course, we will continue to give our comprehensive movie award season coverage. We will once again be doing our movie award season scorecard on our Facebook page. We will update that with every major award show with the winners to give you a better chance there. We will be doing recaps of nominations and of shows of all of those major ones, the Screen Actors Guild, the Critics' Choice, the BAFTAs, and of course leading up to the Oscars themselves. And we will of course be doing our Oscar contest once again with our comprehensive coverage. Do you want to find more from us? The Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter, and of course frnpod.com and nprillinois.org. Thank you so freaking much for listening to us here. We can't wait to keep doing this. All right, that's going to do it for the Front Row Network. I am Jeremy Gechner.
And I am Brandon Davis.
And as always, we will see you in the front row. This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois.
For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org.